Next one. Because that one, that first vision, doesn't deliver a transformation of the landscape. At best, it transforms the inhabitants of a building. We're saying we want to see Sussex transformed. So how about instead of a vicar's vision in the middle, we have a kingdom vision, and instead of trying to get people to come in and deliver it, we actually resource people to go out and deliver it. That way, we start seeing the health service transform, the schools transform, business transform, the city transformed, because we're resourcing people to go out and bring kingdom transformation. But actually, we said that doesn't quite do it either, because the risk then is we have 200 people who are all going off doing their own thing completely independent of each other. That's not the body of Christ. This, I think, is a really exciting picture because this is the body of Christ. This is the resource center in the middle, resourcing the majority of people to go out. The people who've gone out are connected with each other in the different things they're doing, and they're feeding back. They're bringing the testimonies, the stories back, and then they get resourced to go out again. So this is a living organism, and as I first drew that, that was what came to mind. This is a living organism. I thought, oh, yeah, well, it's supposed to be the body, so that kind of fits. So that's just for those who are new. We're not saying, come into this building and deliver the vision in here. We're saying, catch a dream. Look at that. The 2033 vision is gloriously non-prescriptive. It doesn't say there are 15 things to do, choose one. It paints a picture of the landscape and invites us to find out, God, which piece am I? Where do I fit? What am I meant to be doing? So that's what we'd love to do, to turn church inside out like that. So then the question is, you start having your dreams and saying, this is how I fit. How do we, as the Catalyst team, help with that? And I don't know whether you can actually see this. But the ideal flow is that someone has an idea. Someone like Patrick has a crazy idea that God wants to heal people. And he says, oh, I think this is part of 2033. I think I'd like to be part of that. So he gathers around him other people who have that same heart to see health released. Now, that may not just be people who want to do it on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning. That's the GPs. That's the healing on the streets. That's the people who are going after seeing transformation in the mental health area. Gathers them together. So then we end up with a champion of a stream, in this case Patrick. He brings a small team around him because no champion is going to have all the skills to deliver what needs to be done. We need to have a diverse team to do the different bits. Then what we're saying is, what if each of those streams caught God's 2033 picture? So in the Catalyst team last time, we asked this question around testimonies, testimony stream. We said, what might testimonies look like in 2033? And we said, do you know, I think if you ring any doorbell in the community and there's a story. So we go, oh, so that's the horizon for testimonies in 2033. How do we get from here to there? Because that's not where we are. So we're saying with each stream, let's catch that 2033 dream and then let's bring in a strategy. And then the aim is that the Catalyst team helps each stream through that process. Once you've got the team, the vision, the strategy, off you go, do it, and then we go back and find the next thing that we can catalyze and fuel, okay? So the invitation is dream, find other people who are dreaming with you, and any help that as a team we can give you to bring that vision together, to catch the blueprint of heaven for what that stream looks like in 2033, we would love to help you with, support you, and then resource you, send you out, and bring the stories back. So that's dreaming, and that's how the Catalyst team hopefully can help you dream. If we go on to the next one, so we've got a million dreams up here. We're doing all sorts of really good things, serving the poor, and we're praying, and we're prophesying, and we're helping the police, and the schools, and the worship. But it needs to be well-founded. If we look at the history of revivals, God doesn't stop revivals. Heaven is pregnant with revival all the time. We get in the way. So what is the foundation that says that as the kingdom invades, God chooses to stay and we don't muck it up because our foundation is so healthy? What is that foundation? And we've explored that over the last year and a half in various different ways. And then one thing I think in the last little while has begun to gel. Jim has saved me some of my 2.5 minutes on this one. because we have John 17, 21 and 23, which now we all know. But I won't ask anyone, that actually we might be so at one that the world knows that God sent Jesus. John 13, 35, that by this would all men know you're my disciples, by the love you have for one another. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians 13, that says you can have all the programs, all the outreach, all the dreams, all the strategies you want. If they're not rooted and grounded in love, it's a mess. And then we decided, actually, the word we could put on that is family. And I think that's going to become our key word, really. If we do family really well, we can sustain what God is doing. And underneath, and you can get these slides afterwards, underneath, there's lots of words that we felt described family. And I think I want to pick up two or three very quickly. Vulnerability. If we won't be vulnerable, we'll never really connect. But vulnerability requires us to provide safety. It is not reasonable to ask people to be vulnerable in an unsafe environment. So we have to work at how do we create safety so people can be vulnerable? How do we become people who hold nothing back from each other? Total commitment. How do we do our best for each other? How do we learn this thing about speaking the truth in love? I'm quite good at speaking the truth to people, but it's not necessarily in love. And I'm quite good at loving people without being terribly truthful. We need to learn, how do we do this? How do we call each other higher? And as a team, we said, you know, the best way to communicate this is we're going to try and model it. So we have dreams. We want to help you fuel the dreams. We have a foundation, which is family. And then there's a really interesting question we just started to look at last time, which is church growth. And I've still got a couple of minutes. So I'm on track. This is just really interesting. I'm just trying to be practical here. This is not some grandiose, crazy nutcase dream. Let's just look at the maths. When we had a 10:30 service, we had around 150 people-ish. Anthony, is that about right? You got the numbers, about 150-ish. And we hit a bit of a ceiling. So we split it up into 9 and 11, and instantly the ceiling was broken through. So that last Sunday we had 206 in the 11 and 58, did you say? Okay, so we're through 250. Now the key point is that that was in the best part of a year. With 100 new people have joined. It's rational to assume that continues. It's irrational to think that'll stop. So in a year's time, it is reasonable to assume that in this building, there's 350 people trying to get in. They don't fit. It doesn't work. So Washington has invited everyone in the benefice to fuel a refreshed move of God there. Okay, that's great. So 50 people. Let's say 50 people go, wouldn't that be great? 50 people went, because then we only have 300 here. And we can sort of maybe just fit 300 in. But actually, a year later, it's going to be 400. And we can't send another lot to Washington, because I've used conservative figures, but Washington is going to be full in a few years. That's a prophetic declaration, by the way. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I think the key question is the one at the bottom. How do we best build family? What does family look like? If we have masses of people pouring in, that's the classic problem with big church. It starts with community. It then gets so big that we lose family. If we lose family, the risk is the move of God falls because we're not really well connected. So we have to think, how do we grow? Now, am I being crazy thinking these numbers grow like this? Well, this next slide is really, really challenging. There's 3,500 people in Ashington. At the moment, probably 100 of those come to this church. There's 3,400 to win for Christ. That's 17 extra services every Sunday. So to say we might be soon, you know, bursting at seams is actually very calmly rational. Washington, you'd need 13 extra services every Sunday. So what are we going to do? Well, here's some, I think, some really fun suggestions. We could multiply the services. So we'll do 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, and then you just go around the clock, I guess. And each service then becomes a family. And we'd encourage people, choose your service and stay with it. So we have a community that meets at 9, a community that meets at 11. Of course we do stuff together, but we build family. Or we multiply venues. I get excited about multiplying venues outside church buildings. What if we had a meeting in the village centre, the village club? There'll be a boatload of people who will go to that but wouldn't dream of coming here. Who's got the vision for saying, hey, I'm going to plant a church over there? Then each venue becomes a family. And here's the third thought. What if we equipped people during the week so well that they didn't need to leave their churches to come here? Because actually, we don't want 5,000 people here. We want to see Sussex revived. So what if we opened up the healing mornings on Saturdays and we trained people from any church? Well, we're already doing that. But, you know, we want to train people. Anyone from any church, welcome. Come, get trained. Be part of our Saturday healing and go back and release it in your own church. What if we had open worship evenings with Luke? I'm sure would absolutely love to do them. And we invited people to say, hey, come, experience the presence of God. Take it back. What if the Kingdom Training Center we're talking about so equipped and resourced people that people said, hey, I'm getting what I need during the week. Now I can go and make a change where I am. And do you know, I think we start seeing churches all over the place revived because we start giving away what God's given us. So those are some of the things. I've had my 11 minutes, actually. Sorry, James. There's some of the things in the Catalyst team we have the fun of looking at.
Let's just reach out a hand towards Charlie. And who else on the Catalyst team? Why don't you just stand up where you are? Anthony and Perry and, yeah, brilliant. Fantastic. Why don't we stretch out a hand either towards Charlie or to one of these guys? And Father, we thank you so much for those who are doing some of the hard yards in just wrestling with how to release more of the kingdom. And we just bless you now in the name of Jesus. We thank God for you. And we thank God for your prayer, for your wrestling in the Spirit. For the divine creativity you're unleashing amongst us. We just pray, even as what we've just seen now, that, Father, through this team and through us all, you do immeasurably more. That we're not even able to measure it more than we can possibly ask or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, good work, guys. Now, part two is I want to bring before you, on behalf of Washington PCC, an invitation to Ashington and to Whiston. And I'm so grateful that tonight we've got people from all three of our parishes here. There was a pre-read, which hopefully you got out on the email before tonight. There are some hard copies of that to take away if anybody wants over on the font at the back. So I'm not going to repeat all of that. But I just wanted to say a couple of things really about that and also the process over the next year that we're going to go on. The first is to say that nobody has failed, which is why, and nobody has done anything wrong that has led up to us wanting to church plant into Washington. On Sunday, just gone, there were 206 at the 11 o'clock here at Ashington, 58 at 9 o'clock. And Caroline, how many at Washington? 40 or so. So, you know, we had around 300-ish people worshipping God in a recognised, visible Church of England way in our benefice this Sunday just gone, which is awesome. It's brilliant. The average size of a Church of England church is 25 people. So Washington's better than average. You know, I just want to sort of say that really clearly. I also want to say how brave the PCC have been to face the realities of what is heading towards us. What is heading towards us at Washington is we just do not have an influx of a younger generation coming in at the bottom. In fact, in recent times, we've been declining largely through death. And the PCC have just been brave enough to engage with that and to say, on our watch, we want to do something about it. Now, when there's over 250 people meeting 2 miles away, and 30, 40 or so at Washington, I just kind of feel like it is bonkers not to share. And when we look at what's needed, you know, Washington is ripe as a church to flourish and thrive. I thank God, amongst all the other wonderful ministry, that my predecessor, Chris, you know, rolled up his sleeves with Nigel Baker and Andy and the PCC at the time, and they reordered the church and got it fit for purpose, ready to rock and roll. We've got a primary school in the parish with tons of beautiful young families who need to be reached. What we haven't got is musicians. What we haven't got is sound technicians. What we haven't got is children's workers. What we haven't got is anyone to look after our finances. What we haven't got is people with energy. No, we've got one or two who are rolling up their sleeves. And I take my hat off to those who pulled off the harvest supper, you know, and are working so brilliantly at Washington. But what we're seeing is God work as we preach biblically, as we create openness to his spirit, and we set our horizons to see the kingdom come and his will be done. And so what we want to do as Washington is extend an invitation to Ashington and to Whiston, to anybody over the next year, to seek God about whether he's calling you to uproot from where you are and to go with a team to plant into Washington a new service. Now, what we want to do is not shackle the new thing. We're trying to balance the traditions of the Church of England alongside stepping into the new. And I think I must confess that, you know, for those who like a bit of traditional stuff, I really want you not to feel like the poor relation, nor to fit. But I think we just, in this day and age, or how do I put this? Einstein defined the definition of insanity as doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. We've been doing the same thing over and over, and we're not getting the results. So we're going to go down in a blaze of glory and see if we can get some different results. So what we're going to do is basically probably start an early service which meets the needs of the parish for those who, you know, really love the sort of traditional bones of the Church of England, and so their spiritual needs can be catered for at a different time, maybe at 10 o'clock, maybe at 11 o'clock, maybe at 4 o'clock. Who knows? We're going to do something with the aim of starting with children's church, with rocking worship, with youth work, hopefully, with people who are going to roll up their sleeves and see Washington rise like a, I don't know, whatever. I don't know whether phoenix from the flames is definitely not biblical, but like rise on wings like eagles and soar into a glorious future. I think that's Isaiah 40, isn't it? Okay, that's kosher. Thanks, Caroline. And what I'm putting the invitation on behalf of Washington before you, and we're going to talk about it over the next few months, is anyone who goes to realistically commit to at least 5 years. Because we want to give it a good go. And actually, you know, we want to see things really embed. Now, how we're going to do that is, in terms of our process, is like this. After half term, we're going to start a Thursday morning prayer meeting at 8:45 for revival in Washington. Every single week during school term time, and if you've got a passion for the holidays, then run with it. But we're going to start praying for half an hour every week for revival in Washington. So come if you're around. By February, I would like to be able to be in a position to introduce to us the hosts of the church plant. And in May, what I hope to do is to allow them to share some of their vision for what it's going to look like when we open the doors. And probably in November 2019, we're going to start and give it kind of 6 weeks before Christmas, then do Christmas, have a week off, and then come back in the new year ready to rock and roll. Now, when I mention hosts, what we're simply doing is beginning to learn from what God's done over the last 12 months. We just celebrated our first birthday as a church of two congregations this weekend just gone in Ashington. What we're seeking to do is to learn from what God's done, because no one's really teaching us how to do this. We're just trying to follow him and learn the lessons as we go. Now, I'm not as technical as Charlie, so we're on the old flip chart, Matt Collison, but, you know, sorry about that. Looking back over what we've done, the situation I was in about 18 months ago was the fact that we didn't have more clergy help. the model of one vicar to one church just doesn't work and isn't biblical. And so we needed to release growth within the opportunities that we had. So what we did at Ashington was we appointed hosts of each service. So Sally and Ian Richardson at 9 o'clock and Matt and Sarah Collison at 11 o'clock. What they've done is release me and some of the other leaders not to always be there every week. But what they are is consistently there thinking only about 11 o'clock at Ashington on a Sunday or 9 o'clock on a Sunday. They don't do everything, but they get to share in the leadership of what's going on. And I think reflecting back on it and just thinking about how we can learn from this going forwards, I think probably what their role is not hosts, but probably pastors. Now, everyone's scared about the word pastors, but basically it's being the anchor for the congregation week in, week out, and keeping a careful, watchful, discerning eye on what is going on, what God is doing amongst that particular community. What I think this releases here is those with leadership gifts, clergy and lay, to operate in a more apostolic gifting and to sort of flow between them all. Now, I've got to say, now we're in a position to have two associate vicars, and I thank God for you every day, my friend, as well as Ed Quibell. Where is he? I know he's here, over there. But what I feel really strongly is that now, just because we've got another associate vicar able to come and help, what we don't do is say, right, James, you take Washington, Jim, you take Ashington, Ed, you take Whiston. I don't think that's right. I think the beauty of this model here is we get a variety of giftings and passions. I mean, look at our church weekend. You know, Louise and I did Friday night, Jim did Saturday morning, Ed did and Michelle did Saturday night. You know, I took us down the home straight on Sunday morning. And what we all got was different gifts being exercised, different anointings, and we all benefited, didn't we? Isn't that wonderful? So I think this model is where clergy and lay operate a more apostolic model and are able to work with all the congregations with the sole purpose of releasing more of the kingdom everywhere. Does this make sense? So what we're going to do is seek to appoint a couple of pastors to lead the church plant to Washington. And they are going to be there for a minimum of 5 years, week in, week out, working with a team, solely thinking about how this new plant can enable Washington to flourish and thrive. What I'm excited about this is if we go with the one vicar, one church model, not only is that exhausting for clergy, because they're meant to be all the different gifts, secondly, it always caps things at around 100. People say 150, but really it's about 100. And thirdly, it doesn't allow us to grow. Because if we have to wait to raise up all the money to find clergy, you just can't make it work. And what if we wanted to plant into Ashurst or Stenning or whatever? I think this has been recorded, so we haven't got plans to do that, just to honour my other colleagues. But I tell you what, God is working. You know, what if we got a call? I won't get sidetracked on that. So, does this make sense? Okay. So by February, I hope to have these guys in place. And what they're going to do next is gather a team that they feel passionate about, that they feel have a variety of gifts, but who are going to work with them to really see this come together and form. In May, the pastors or the hosts and that team are going to go public, if you like, and say, listen, who's up for it? We need a minimum of 50. I'd love to send 100. And so there's just tons of resource for the new thing to get up and running. And in May, I hope to do that. And then I only put sort of November, you know, at this stage, sometimes it's hard to see all the twists in the road. But definitely by the 1st of January 2020, we're going to rock and roll. Okay? We're going to have a Q&A after some coffee and on all these things. So that, I think, is where we're at. All right? Caroline. Why don't we welcome Caroline Armitage? Caroline's, I was going to say one of our lay readers, but actually you're our only lay reader. You're the special one.
I think technically he probably still is a lay reader, actually. I'm not sure.
Where is he? Yeah, I don't know if he's here tonight anyway. Caroline has been heading up our process of bringing three parishes into one and is just going to give us a quick update on where we're at.
So three parishes into one. Once you've made a decision to do it, sounds simple. But the Church of England, in its infinite wisdom, has an infinite ability to make it longer and slower than you think it's going to be. I think it was a good year ago that the PCCs actually came to the conclusion this was the right thing to do, and certainly back in January that we set off on this journey. And since then, I've been liaising with the diocese down at Church House, and we have to go through a formal process. And that formal process involves consultations within the diocese and within the parishes, and then formal consultations with the group called the Church Commissioners, who are the body that sort of oversee that sort of thing. And where we are at the moment is that we are nearly at the point over the next few weeks and months that we can go into that formal diocesan consultation over becoming what will be called Chanctonbury Churches. It was quite funny, actually. This will just make you laugh. When I went to discuss this with the, you know, the, well, there's three PCCs and they all agree and we want to become one parish and each of the churches will technically be this and that and the other, and we'd like to call ourselves Chanctonbury Churches. Ooh, I don't think that fits with our naming convention. However, I had a draft scheme with the name Chanctonbury Churches in it, so delighted to say that they got over their naming convention. but those consultation processes are set in stone. There are 6 weeks, and then you have to have a period to consider it, and then there's the second 6-week period. It's taken us slightly longer than we wanted to get to the point where we're going to be ready to go into that formal consultation for uniting as one, as becoming one parish. And I will also then be working with the various wardens and catalysts, well, probably not the catalyst team, but the wardens and PCCs, about what the formal structures of things like PCCs will look like. And that is going to take us, I'm afraid, a few more months than we would have liked to. It would have been lovely to say it was going to go live at the beginning of the year or in the middle of next year. It could take a little longer than that, but again, as James said, by the time we get to the end of 2019, I am confident, because we are being discussed. We were apparently on the agenda at the Mission and Pastoral Committee of the diocese only last week. So that's all moving forward well. And that piece, you know, we really believe they shall become one. It's a structural expression of they shall become one. It stops us competing for resource, because as one we're wanting to release resource into all parts of our body. We want the blood to flow through all the arteries and to come back through all the veins, and they shall become one is absolutely key. So that's the part that is the unification, and God willing that seems to be flowing fairly smoothly, albeit a little slow. I don't know whether you want me to go on with the other bit, or you wanted to say the wisdom bit, or very, very briefly. As I think many of you know, we are exploring the vision of what we're calling the Wisdom Powerhouse, some sort of centre resourcing through the power and access to, through prayer and worship, to resource 2033 spreading out across. Not just across our area, but beyond our area. Wiston has had many prophecies spoken over the years over it, and we firmly believe that those prophecies will, in God's good time, come to fruition. There's some wonderful Church of England processes that need to be dealt with on that as well, which also involve all these wonderful scheme things, and there's a lot of work that still needs to be done between the PCCs, just birthing that as an idea. So at the same time as we're doing the unification process, we're also gently exploring how that can be turned into a reality. But again, God's timing on that. Well, he can deal with the Church of England. He knows how to deal with the Church of England. But we are listening carefully to God's timing on that and taking that at an appropriate pace. So.
Thank you, Caroline. Yeah. See, in 5 minutes, Caroline summarised probably about a year's work. So, thank you. I thank God for people like you just doing the hard yards for us. So, thank you so much. Just to kind of add onto that with Whiston Church, I think that's the key thing that the church councils and potentially all of us may need to try and discern over the next 6 months, which is when we decided to become one parish, we basically said, cool, that's three into one. And then the question of, well, what's going on with Whiston Church came into focus, and the diocese are keen to give it basically back to us. So four historic church buildings, awesome. Then we decided to think, man, well, do you know, the presence of the Lord is always drawn by worship and prayer. And if I sort of step back strategically, I just think, where's our engine room? Where night and day people are just seeking God and just fueling it through prayer and through worship. So now the question we've got to discern is whether that happens when we become one over the next year or whether that's a bit further down the track. But we're going to pray about that and update you on that in due course. Okay? Everyone all right? Everyone just reach forward and just massage the person's shoulders in front of them. Okay. Hopefully you made a new friend or two there. Right, the final part of this, then we're going to break for coffee, and after coffee we're going to have some Q&A, and then we're going to close by praying for Washington. But I just wanted to sort of update on one or two things. So Sophie, if you could just roll us through the screen, that'd be great. If you weren't here on the Sunday morning of the church weekend, please do pick up the talk from that where I talked about this at length. You should have a bookmark on your chair. We've basically been blessed to pursue a 10-day prayer walk starting at Winchester Cathedral, finishing where the South Downs Way finishes beyond Eastbourne, and mandated to invite every church, both Church of England and non, across the ecumenical stream, to join with us in walking, if they'd like to, in prayer for revival of every church and awakening in the land. And we're going to walk over a 10-day period, and we're going to gather as one on the second Saturday, probably somewhere along the route where we stop, get to on Friday night, and then we have a whole day of worship, prayer for revival in the church and awakening in the land. And that's going to start on the 11th of July, 2020. I'm just saying because we've been asked to do this and to light the spark or whatever. I think there's an opportunity for all of us to play a part, whether it's directly walking, whether it's walking a bit, whether it's project managing, whether it's interceding for it, whether it's helping us connect with other churches, whether it's administering, whether it's designing cool flyers, whether it's driving a Land Rover over the Downs with some supplies, whether it's working out. What if we had 500 walkers trying to sleep somewhere on the Tuesday, somewhere along the Downs? Where are they going to sleep? How's that going to work? What if we have 5,000? You know, then what's going to happen? Who's going to organise the second Saturday, the day event? Start at 2 o'clock, finish at 10 o'clock, rolling worship and prayer. So there's an opportunity to get involved. And we're going to need to work with other churches. Becca Jupp's pumped from Aaron. I was with someone called Paul Manwaring who wants to get involved the other day. The Bishop of Lewis is going to be our patron. I know there's a call going into some of our other Church of England guys high up. It's the week before Lambeth 2020 when every bishop on the planet flies into London. So our bishops are quite keen that there's a foundation of prayer pushing upwards ahead of a key global Church of England summit. So game on. You up for it? Great. Right, next thing. Fantastic. I'm really excited about this. We've had an invitation, and it's confirmed that our interns, and probably one or two others, are going to visit Eric and Ellie in May in the Gambia. So our three interns, Jack, Tom, Sophie at the back, Sarah Joy, who's going to join us in January from South Africa, they're going to be heading out to do 2 weeks. They're going to do a week running a kids' camp and serving the missionaries of West Africa the first week. Then they're going to go to Eric and Ellie's village. They're going to do some building stuff and basically bless them as much as possible. I'm really, really excited about this. We're going to hear more about it, but I just want to let you know. And, you know, so that's really cool, isn't it? Father, even now, we just bless Eric and Ellie, wherever they are. Just encourage them this night in their mission. And we pray that this trip would just be a very small part in your wonderful work unfolding for them where they are, bringing many people to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Right, next one. Getting involved. Fantastic. I know there are lots of new faces around at the moment, so I just wanted to say there's a few different ways of getting involved. Number one, you might be passionate to join the church plant, because there's a lot of opportunities to get involved. There's a lot of opportunities for all of us, because we're going to have to send 100 people. It's going to be painful. We're not going to see them every week. Oh, my goodness. And that's going to create some spaces for us to pick up and backfill. So there's lots and lots going on. But a couple of things. I'd love you to join us, in the words of 2 Corinthians, in this grace of giving. And we love to give. It's part of our worship. I inherited a legacy of generosity, and we're just seeing it go to the max. We're doing really well. But, you know, new levels mean new opportunities. So just get in the game, enjoy giving, go for it, and pick up one of these packs, which are on the font at the back, if you're not involved in that already. There were lots of other things. Yes, if you are not in a small community, our man Jim, a.k.a. Marlene, is going to be heading up small community going forward. So if you're not in that, begin to talk to Jim. He's just got into the saddle, so go easy on him. But also, Jim is going to help us with small community going forwards. If you want to get involved in a team that helps on Sundays, where's Janet Ray? At the back. Everyone look how lovely Janet is. Brilliant. So if you want to get involved over there, then give Janet a shout. Philly, can you just give us a wave? If you're not involved in our weekly comm stuff, get our email, then talk to Philly. You obviously did, because you got the memo that we weren't at Washington and we were here. That's one of those. But also, on the 14th of November, for 3 nights, we're just going to do something particularly aimed at those who joined the church within the last year or so, which on Sunday when I said that was a lot. And on the 14th of November, we're going to do 3 nights, the heart of Chanctonbury. We're going to be in the Village Club, and we're basically just going to say, share a bit about how to get involved, a bit of who we are, bit of some of this stuff, you know, what our vision is and what we're passionate to see. So just keep those dates free. Bring a friend, bring a pet, and it should be really, really fun. Final thing, sharing in the ministry. I can't remember what that was. Well, just use your gifts and enjoy God and enjoy one another. That sounds about right. Any more? Sophie, where are we? That's it. Woohoo! So what we're going to do is take 10 or 15 minutes. We're going to have some refreshments. And then we're going to come back together, have an opportunity for some Q&A. Then we're going to pray for Washington and go on our way. Let me just say one prayer for us now as we go into our coffee time. Father, I bless you for some of the quality leaders you've given us. Just Caroline and Charlie demonstrating that before us this evening. Thank you for each and every one of us, whether we play parts visible or invisible to many of our eyes in church life. Thank you that we're a body, and some of the most precious parts are some of the most hidden. We thank you for those who pray. We thank you for those who give. We thank you for those who look after children. We thank you for those who lead their businesses with grace, who serve you each and every day. And we just, well, our heart's desire, Lord, is to know you more and to be known by you more and to see your kingdom come and will be done. So may you pour out your Spirit in ever-increasing measure, that the name of Jesus is heard above all others, and that this place, as we saw before in the video, might truly be known for God being here. No human name, but God being here. We pray all these precious things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go in peace and enjoy some coffee. Fantastic, thank you. I'm not sure if I said this at the start, but I was just thinking, thank you for coming. Thank you for just engaging and being passionate about God and what he's doing in this place to come out on a dark October evening. So I really appreciate it. And most of all, I really appreciate the privilege it is to serve amongst you. So thank God for each and every one of you. Sharing in the ministry. You know, I forgot what that was. I just wanted to say that Nick and Holly did a brilliant slot today in the Ashington School Harvest Services, which were fantastic. Nick's at the back. Nick's taking up the reins at Youth Club. Luke Christian Farman's our worship pastor. We've got tons of new ministry being initiated, and I'd just love you to get behind them and just to pray for them and get involved. We had 19 toddlers in creche on Sunday. Now, the problem with that is the ratios are enormous, you know, for, you know, adult to, you know, babies. So there's so much to participate in. And I just encourage us to get involved, get behind our leaders, and I really encourage them in all they're seeking to do amongst us. Right, I'm going to take some Q&A, and I'd love Charlie and Caroline just to be around, just to give me a hand with this. Archie's going to go around with the roving mic, and we're going to use this one here. So has anyone got a question?
Bit of clarification on those November dates, if you could. Are they three of the same, pick any one, or are there a series where different things are happening?
Just remind everybody what your name is.
I'm Morris.
Good man. And you're married to?
Julia.
Fantastic. They're going to be different, and a three-parter. So probably best to come to all three. Thank you. Great question. Who's next? Timothy.
Thank you very much for telling us about the visit to Gambia. That's lovely. That's wonderful. But as regards our ministries, our missionaries overseas and in the UK or whatever, I'm very concerned that all of us give some money to the church, and some of that money goes to our missionaries. And I guess that many people don't know where it goes to. And I would really like regular updates as to how our missionaries are doing, because they are doing wonderful jobs all around the world. And I know we occasionally have every 6 months or something a sheet, but in the past, we used to have every month, we had an update, but I'd just leave it to you as to what it would be. I would love to hear more, because do people know about the Gambia couple and their two children?
Maybe they'll find out.
Yes. That's good for you, correcting me. Yes.
I love that you know them so intimately, Jimmy. Yeah, I'll maybe take this one. I don't know whether Perry wants to say anything about it or Anthony. What I would say is please look at our website, because it's got an awesome webpage with all the information about our mission partners, and we've worked really hard to get that up there, and you know, it's really, really, really good. I think in terms of our money and the breakdown, anyone's always welcome to approach our treasurer or Mark Barrett about how we allocate our money. We're committed to giving a minimum in Ashington of 12.5% of anything we take in away beyond ourselves. And I think last year we gave away 25% of everything we took in, which was a tremendous privilege. And we'd hope to be somewhere about that, I would imagine, this year as well. In terms of the breakdown of it, I kind of think when I give my money, I trust the people to allocate it, you know, who are prayerfully doing it on our behalf. So, you know, don't get too intense about it, I would say. Perry, anything to add?
Now that we've got the website up and running, I think the next step is to have a visual representation of it there. But also our intention is to have a sort of a prayer meeting once a term for them of an evening. And I must say, I'm quite remiss. I haven't put one in for this term. But last time, there were so many things going on in the church, it was hard to find a free evening. So I admit that I haven't put that in. But to be reassured, we're very much in touch with all our mission partners. And it's a good thing.
Thank you. Thanks for your passion for it.
Us and update us on a regular basis, because that would help Jim if they knew they were being asked to send a monthly newsletter to us, which we commit always to put up on the website, then we've covered off the point. And I don't know whether
just to fill in a few gaps here, we've re-looked at the way this whole, what used to be called the World Mission Group, now Ashington Partnerships, works. And one of the key things behind all those organizations or individuals we support is that we ask for a group of people to pray for them, to be in contact with them, to give them encouragement, and actually to help update us as a church. And so the website and also the emails, the weekly emails, have an important function in terms of updating the rest of the church. So there is a link between the group who support the organization concerned, getting in touch with the church office saying, we've just heard from Shilpa, can you put this into the newsletter so we're all informed?
Anyone else got a question? Gil Lewis.
So about the Western Powerhouse thing, do we have to wait a year? Can we do some 24/7 things there?
So we absolutely want to start living the dream. Now, obviously, the church at the moment is technically a closed church, but also, as we know, it's next to Wilton House, which has its own security issues, and we want to be good neighbours with Wilton House. We've had a meeting with Wilton House to explain to them that we're hoping to be using the church more. We're putting together at the moment a sort of a programme for the next year, 18 months, to run starting from probably January next year. So that we can have something regular on a weekly, monthly, and then maybe an occasional yearly basis that provide focus. So you will be seeing something being developed over the next few months, but we want to do it in a way that really honours consulting with the diocese, who technically own the church at the moment, and also with Wilton House, who are our good neighbours.
That relates to Whiston Church, and Wilton Park is the executive subcommittee of the Foreign Office that Caroline was referring to. We met the chief exec recently, who was, I think, blown away that a country bunch of churches were still bothered enough to still be praying So it was a really great meeting. She's like, oh my word, I can't believe all this is happening. And now we've got Russian diplomats coming in, and we've got prayer warriors trying to, how do we make that work? So there's a relationship that we're just building there, and we need everybody to win. We also don't need to only be in Whiston Church whilst we work out the logistics to pray, do we? So I think, I would say Sarah Binney, Fairly Kingdom Come Intercessors, feed ideas in there. Let's crack on and do some hardcore prayer. Yeah, well, that's a really good point, because these wonderful churches are all built on really narrow roads, and in the old days it was really fun because you could just walk over the fields to them. Now everyone's got 4x4s and all this sort of stuff, and 3 cars to every home. So what we have got is a big car park behind Washington, which we've just secured a new lease on for at least the next 15 years for peppercorn rent. Is that right, Mr. Churchwarden? So we've got car parking space. I always think, what an awesome problem to have. Nowhere to put the cars. Fantastic. Let's do minibuses up from the bottom of the hill or whatever we need to do. Thank you for raising that. Anyone else got a question? I don't want to hog the mic, but yeah. So yeah, I mean, what was interesting is we thought long and hard. Where do we do Jim's licensing and the commissioning of our new guys a few weeks back? You know, it would have been lovely to do it at Washington, but then we started thinking, well, what do we do with 40 kids that turn up and probably 20, 25 youth? Where can they go? And we just didn't really have the obvious answers, particularly when the weather's bad. So I think this is why there's a sort of year at least lead-in, because we've got to find answers to those questions. And if we just put children in the bell tower, that kind of restricts it to about 12. It's quite noisy. And I wouldn't fancy containing 12 children in a 10-foot square, very old space. For an hour or so. So we need to work that out, is the answer to the question. Yeah. Anyone else got a question?
Just really to say that it's amazing, Charlie, your statistics about how we're growing and growing. And I really feel that they'll be growing, going to grow even faster and even wider and bigger. And I think of Big Church Day Out, then going now into something called Wildfires, which was a huge success. So that's 24/7 prayer, for, which is Pete Gregg. Then we've got David's Tent. That's grown from 800 in a few years to 6,000. And I remember saying to you, James, when you first arrived, are you ready for this marquee, which takes, I don't know how many thousands, to be permanently here? Because I think that's, forget the little, even the barns around the place are going to be too small, you know? But anyway, I just feel almost like we're going to have our own big church day out here that's going to be needed to be not just wait every year, but it's going to be ongoing. I really believe that. And I think that I think we need to be ready, you know? And I mean, to pray that in. I was just chatting to Sarah today, Sarah Binney, about Whiston Church and starting maybe like a, because we really feel strongly, I've always felt it, that God has got his own formula for here. It's not a copy of any other prayer houses or whatever, much as we love them, but each one is for different, and it's culturally all different. So I feel that God is going to download to us his own formula for this area. And I feel that my pin-up guys is Roy Godwin from Felderbrennan, and maybe we start his prayers going, because those just, and we had them here for a week, didn't we, and around. But I just think maybe that's how we go, and then we just see how what happens, and multiplication, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, yeah, anyway, that's
you.
Enough of that. But it's just, I just think, don't let's just keep our faith level so high. Don't limit what God's going to be doing, and get ready.
Amen. Amen.
I just really want to pick up on what you said about be ready. Because as I was looking at the numbers on church growth, I realized this is not extravagant. You know, we need to be ready. These numbers are going to grow. But also, the very first strategy meeting, and I'd really encourage you to find this if you can. First strategy meeting, we played 2033, and we all cried and thought it was awesome. But then we played from the Transformation series, the Outer Hebrides Revival. And we realized what we'd just watched in 2033 has happened in our nation within the last 100 years. And the bit that took me out completely is in the Hebrides Revival. There's a picture in this documentary of a road, and the cars stopped, and the commentary saying the power of God fell. People had to stop their cars and were weeping in repentance, meeting Jesus as Savior. And I watched that, and I suddenly went, oh my goodness, 2033 is real. And so I really want to say, I think you're right, we need to be ready. So that's, if you want to Google that, if you go for the George Otis Jr., Transformations videos, Outer Hebrides. I watched the whole series. They're all awesome. They're an invasion of God. They're what we're looking for all over the world. But Outer Hebrides is here.
I think also Pip said something we've been talking a bit about in smaller meetings recently, which is we're not called to be copycats of the Outer Hebrides revival. We're not called to be HTB in Sussex. Not called to be Bethel in West Sussex, not called to be blah, 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 blah. You know, God is doing something unique in the middle of who knows where, somewhere randomly between Worthing and Horsham, in the countryside, we're in historic churches as a foundation. He's put us in close proximity, some who are very wealthy, some who are barely rubbing two pennies together. He's given us a very unique context, something he's been preparing for centuries and decades, and we need to be creative enough in him to step into the unique story he's got for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Right. What I'd love to do, I think, is to finish by praying for Washington. So what I'd love to do is to put anybody who either is a member of Washington Church right now or who lives in Washington Parish down this central aisle, and then the rest of us are going to jump on chairs over you, and we're going to just pray for a few moments into what God wants to do over the next year, 18 months. So I could just invite you out of your chairs, either down the central aisle or onto a chair if you don't necessarily live in the parish. So guys, let's gather around, let's lay on hands, of course, in appropriate places.